Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, He's worthy. When He sees me, Brother Vance one time preached a message, and he's talked about the Lord seeing through eyes of fury, red. Red eyes. Everything that he would look at down here on the ground, that what does infrared do? Everything that he looked at down here on the ground that was covered by the blood through that red, and that red was white as snow. That's what infrared does. White as snow. And I'm so thankful for that. Now tonight, I want to start in Luke 14th chapter, and I want to read verse 27. Now, there's a lot to study and read there, but this morning, Brother Denton gave me the opportunity last night to accept the challenge and stand in this pulpit once again. And this morning in our class, Sister Desiree reminded me something about the disciples. And you got to understand, these guys were just kids, teenagers up. And they took the challenge to serve the Lord and walk with Him. I want to read verse 27, chapter 14, Luke 14, verse 27. And then I'm going to go to 1 Timothy 4 chapter. Luke 14, verse 27. And the word here says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Are you the Lord's disciple? Are you carrying your cross? Lord, as I bow my head tonight, I ask you for your favor, your grace to deliver this message. I ask you, Lord, to help me to encourage our youth and our elders. I pray, Lord, that you would bless Brother Denton and his family, double portion, the message that he brought this morning, the message of salvation, the message of determination, the message of what you can do if we'll just let you have our heart. Lord, use my hands and my feet, my mouth. Use me, Lord. Let me yield my members unto you, God, that I'll do honorable things, righteous things. I pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he said here, and we could study that, and we go down through there, and a great man had a supper, and he invited some people. One couldn't go because he had bought some land, and he needed to go look at it. Now, who buys land without looking at it? You'll get you some of that Centralia shale up there. It's nothing but Centralia shale. If you buy land without looking at it, north of North Valley. This other one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. Was it 5 or 6? No, it's 5. So I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I got to go prove them. Now, who buys 5 yoke of oxen and go prove them? Now, does this start to sound like some of the excuses we use? Yeah. And then the other one was, we're having a supper, a celebration. I married a wife. I took a new bride, and I came. Every excuse in the world to not follow the Lord. Every excuse in the world to not follow the Lord. I'll have the opportunity to teach the class that I have, and I enjoy it. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then I'm going to talk to the youth a while. I haven't talked to the youth in a little while, and that's okay. Got it all loaded up for him tonight. Amen. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just start at verse 1. This is a good chapter. We'll start at verse 1. And my goal is to get to verse 12. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but thou be an example of the believers in word, conversation, manner of life, in charity, which is love, in spirit, and in faith and purity. All right, so now, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Where do we live right now in this time? Everything that they're portraying as gospel music out there is not gospel. That you can't. They never mention the Lord. And what they do is they, who would you want to steal if you was a bad guy? Children. Who does the cartel, who do the people that are human trafficking, who do they grab? Kids. They grab kids. And that's what the devil's after. He wants to grab our kids. And I better be a good example of them, and I had better be a great encouragement to them. I had better be. The Lord told us in his word that it would be better if we offended one of these little ones. Be better you had a millstone around your neck and you were cast into the bottom of the sea than to offend one of these. So we got to straighten up. We got to live for God, and we got to be an example to our youth, but our youth have to be an example as well. So he said in verse 2, speaking lies and in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them in which we which believe and know the truth. So I'm not going to get off into the meats and what you can and can't eat. I'm going to talk to you about your youth and your wisdom that God's going to give you and is giving you. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. One time, Earl Wilson, he straightened me out up there to feed me. I used to buy a lot of feed from him, and I was feeding a lot of cows and buying some feed from him. And I went in there, and he's talking about eating possum. And he said, "Man, yeah, that possum's good." I said, I'm not eating a scavenger. He said, "You like chicken?" I said, "I love chicken." He said, "You tell me what a chicken won't eat. And they'll eat anything a possum will. They'll eat anything. They will. So God made them too. You can have my portion. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine unto whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. How many of you know what old wives' fable is? Huh? We got a lot of that around the church. And men use it too. You know what I was told when I was a boy? It's probably an old wives' fable. Line it up to the word. If it don't match and don't go, don't use it. This is faithful saying and worthy all acceptation. For therefore we both, verse 10, labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of men, especially of those that believe. Verse 11, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. He's talking to Timothy. Has been like a son to him. Okay, now Timothy wasn't just a kid anymore. But he said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, spirit, in faith, and purity. Till I come, give attendance to, listen to this, kids, give attendance to reading, exhortation. What's exhortation? Exhorting. Getting up here and singing and lifting up the praises of the Lord, encouraging people. I get encouraged when the youth sing. I get encouraged when they testify. I get encouraged when somebody, this Bible says, once a man, twice a child. I get encouraged when somebody like my dad gets up here and says more than he's ever said in his life in just a few minutes up here on this. I get encouraged. I'm not calling him a kid, but I get encouraged that he finally turned some of that loose. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. That say it for me. Yeah, presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly, not H-O-L-Y, but everything within you to them. Give everything within you to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So, just a little bit about my life and the stuff I've been through and the mess I got myself in. As a youth, I wandered from God. I'm going to talk about the things that he tried to keep me from, but I wouldn't heed. My parents pastored. My family were all, I was raised up in a Christian. Every direction I went, there was Christians. I hated it. Nobody smoked. Nothing. You know, everybody was trying to be saved and live for God. So I rebelled about 14 or 15. And then pretty soon I was going to school every day, that they had football practice and track. I didn't go during basketball season, but I'd go to school and I'd get my fix on, not drugs, but drinking. And I'm so thankful for the kids in this church that don't need to go taste that devilish thing. He said, abstain from that. Anything that's not holy, abstain from it. Stay away from it. So, and then you're going to walk along here a little while. And when I was 22 years old, the Lord saved me. And he delivered me from all that mess. And I was a young man, and I was called to preach as a boy, about 12. Brother Phillips, I told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again. He pointed that little finger. He had the crookedest finger I ever seen in my life. He pointed that right at me and said, at us, there's going to be teachers come out of this church, preachers come out of this church. And we had about 12 to 15 members there that night. The Lord spoke to me. I mean, I never heard an audible voice from God in my life, and I didn't need to. He spoke to me. He spoke to my spirit, right in my heart, my spirit. And I knew then that I was going to be a preacher man one day. I knew then. Are you hearing me, Weston? I knew then I was going to preach the gospel one day. And sure as everything, the devil knew I knew because I said it out loud. And he absolutely attacked me. He put everything he could in front of me. And by the time I was 15, I was a chronic alcoholic. I drank every day. I could get it. I could find it. I could have it every day. Everything I spent on was on a few clothes and shoes and a lot of that nonsense sin. I poured that sin in my mouth. And you know what? It didn't help me a bit. It drove me further and further and further away from God, further away from my family, further away from everybody. Now, this is not a 12-step AA meeting tonight, but I want to tell you something. It'd be okay if it was. I want to tell you something. The steps that the Lord gave us are so much easier than man's steps. The steps that he gave us to walk. Now, what did he tell Emmy? He told Emmy to study to show yourself approved. He told her to get in that word, hear that word, have them family devotions, listen to mom and dad when they're rightly dividing the word of truth, and you get that in you, and you have that locked in there, and then whenever it comes time, I'm going to tell you something, it'll come out of you. It'll come out of you, son. It'll come out of you when you got friends around you that need to be set free. It will come out of you. Some of you might have grandparents that don't live for God. Some of you might have grandparents that don't live for God. Right now, you might have grandparents that don't live for God. And you know what? God told us if we won't take up our cross and follow him, we can't be his disciple. I want to be God's disciple. I want to walk where he tells me to walk. I want to go where he tells me to go. I want to sing what he wants me to sing. I want to testify. I want to preach what he wants me to preach. I want to listen. God gave us some good youth development programs right here in this church. Kids, listen to your leaders. Listen to your teachers. Listen to Sister Margaret. Listen to them. Listen to them. Let them tell you and let them teach you. And Janie and Sister Kim, let them tell you and show you and teach you the way what God says for you to do. Now listen to this. Then, when you're out there and you're riding that bus to that ball game, and that old boy that's sitting beside you who lives in an abuseful dad that's very abuses and beats them and what have you, and they have no hope, and they have nowhere to look, and they have nowhere to go. They got you. because you've took up your cross and you followed him. You've taken up your cross and you're going to tell people about Jesus. God's going to use little Virgil to encourage his parents. He's going to use Blaze. He's going to use Kaislin. Grayson gets to him all the time. Little Grayson, he gets to him all the time. And I want you to understand something. My girls that stay at my house, they encourage me all the time. I'm Grandpa. I'm Papa. But they encourage me. They try to get in that word and hear that word and heed that word. Don't you? Get a hold of that guitar and try to learn how to play that guitar. Don't you? Sister Bella, she's back there. She's as ornery as her dad is. I ain't even lying. She's as ornery as her dad is, but she's as good as he is too. And your kids are going to be as good as you are in front of them. They are in most cases. But in my case, I ran as far from God as I could run. My parents sitting back there, gray-headed, 81 years old, fixing to be 82. And I ran and it's the worst decision I ever made. It's the worst decision that I ever made in my lifetime. How many of you have grandchildren here tonight? Raise your hands. I don't blame a couple of you for not raising your hand. We have grandkids, and they're going to. Amen. We have grandkids, and those grandkids are, the Lord called them olive plants around our table. Now, Brother Denton has went way out of his way time after time to study out and tell us what the olive was. He taught us how to squeeze that olive oil out of there. There's some that first squeezed. It's the best. Listen to me. The Lord knows how to render us. He knows how to wring us out. Brother Bill, I saw the pastor pour enough oil on that prayer cloth just now for you to wring out and get some on you, and you get all your ailments fixed up too. I'm telling you, you ought to be getting better while you're carrying it home in your pocket, because that's who God is. I don't know why it worked with Paul. He'd sweat and he'd preach and the anointing would come off of him. He's making a tent and he's wiping the sweat and he's preaching and he's teaching because he had studied the word. He studied the word to show himself approved. He rightly divided that word. And he was able to tell men and women. Sister Paula, when you get up and sing, you sing songs about who? Jesus. You sing songs about deliverance. Amen? Now, Brother Brent made a comment about singing behind the Sherbandis. I could make one about speaking behind Brother Denton, but I don't want to. I don't want to because I'm not competing with that man. I'm not. I'm trying to reach my kids. I'm trying to reach your kids. That church up the road, they got a few kids. That church down that way, they got a few kids. There's a church there in town that has all of the fog machines and the lights and the light show, and they got lots of kids. And I'm thankful for that. But I want these kids right here to be rooted and grounded in the Word and not follow after everything that's out there that's bright and shiny and draws them. And that, you know what? The enemy does that. He draws. He don't draw as good as God does, but he draws them. He tries to entice them. He tries to steal them. He tries to rob them from us. Whenever you teach those class, Sister Margaret, you study and you prepare. While you're studying God's Word, he's anointing you. That whenever you open that book in there and you start rightly dividing that Word of Truth with those kids, it goes into them. You're giving into their life. You're giving into their heart. Are you hearing me? Sister Janie, same thing. You're giving into them. You're putting into them. I love Brantley, and I'm glad he comes by and sees us quite often. I want him to be a man of God when he grows up. One that fears God and eschews evil, hates it. I want him to be that. I want Sister Tanya's son to be set free, to be delivered, to be a child of the King, and not caught up at all in that mess I want you to know something. I have a son that's been caught up in some mess, and he stepped out, and I'm going to say this. The only way he's going to get out of the mess that he gets caught up in sometimes is stay hooked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes little Virgil Matthew will tell him, Dad, this or Dad, that. Dad, you're not only my dad, you're my brother in Christ. That'll go in you. That'll seek right down in you. It'll get right down in your soul. And then you realize, I'm acting in front of my children like I wouldn't act in front of Brother Isaac. I'm acting in front of my children like I wouldn't act in front of Brother Devon. I act in front of my grandchildren like I sure wouldn't act in front of Sister Janie. I act in front of you. You hear me? You know where I'm going with this? If you want them to be caught up in the mess, stay caught up in the mess, because your life is an open book. It's an open book. Now, tomorrow when I get up, should the Lord tarry and give me another day of life, I will put on my clothes and my vest, and I'm going to go to work. Seeing a friend of mine had been shot and killed. He's 61 years old, same age as me. He got shot and killed by a woman, and he was going to a disturbance. And it just happened not long ago, recently. And I'm going to put on my gear, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to serve the community and be a public servant. I'm going to walk into that Board of County Commissioners meeting in the morning, and I'm going to give the invocation. And I'm not going to talk about the weather, and I'm not going to talk about the things that are going on in the county. I'm going to pray about this, the condition of our souls. I'm going to pray about our eternal soul. I'm going to pray about God open our eyes, God open our ears, God help us to hear, God deliver into my spirit, help me into my spirit. I want to tell them who Jesus is. When I pray, I don't end it with we pray in the name of the Lord. I don't end it with we pray in His name. I end it with in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. We sing about that name, Sister Sherry. Power in that name that helps you and gives you some relief from that pain. Power in that name. He's God. He's righteous. He's holy. He's forevermore the King of glory. And I'm thankful that He's my Savior. I'm thankful for this man right here. But most of all, I'm thankful for his wife. Because a lot of people don't realize this. The First Lady sometimes sets the mood of the pastor as he comes to service on Sunday morning. She's a prayer warrior. Never says, speaks any ill. And she does, and she's an example of what a woman of God should be. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. This man is anointed of God, and the Lord said, what? Touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophet any harm. That takes his household. Listen to me tonight. These youth are ours, but they're the Lord's first. Brother Denton preached a while back, and he talked about this right here. He said that we was a light. Before we were ever conceived, there was a light. We was a light. God knew us because He formed us. He knew us before we were ever created, conceived in our mother's womb. He knew me, and He knows you. And tonight, children, He knows you. What we're going to do is, we're going to gather these children up, and we're going to set them on these altars in this front seat. And the elders in the church and Sunday school teachers as elders, and we're going to gather around them, and we're going to pray for them. Now, I don't know if any of you believe in divine appointment or impartation, but our Lord and Savior will impart into them, if we're men and women of God, if we're righteous and holy, if we're the prophets we claim to be, if we prophesy, if we speak it. Now, I don't blab it and grab it, and I don't name it and claim it, but according to the Word of God, I can say what I want that's in His will, and He will divinely help me, and I want these kids. Most important, I want these kids the children of Israel, the Hebrews, sacrificed their children, their baby, to Molech. How come? Because they got caught up in every wind of doctrine that came along. And they destroyed their children. You know what the United States of America are doing? That abortion is a sacrifice unto Molech. And them evil, rotten people that are doing that in our White House and in our government, they're going to stand before God, and I'm going to promise you, they're going to pay. They're going to pay. The Word of God teaches us that there is some innocent blood, and I believe it's those. They knew no sin. They didn't know any life outside of that womb until they were aborted and destroyed and killed. Innocent blood is on their hands. And their God, Satan, the killer, the stealer, and the destroyer, that's who he is. Stand with me tonight, children. Is all of the kids in here? And Sister Janie and Sister Margaret? And who else? Come on, help me out with it. Sister Jennifer, and all you ladies and gentlemen, and Jared, and all you men, come around these kids and let's pray for them. I don't care if you break out the anointing oil and just anoint every one of their heads. Sit on the altar, sit on them front seats. There's altars over here. The boys can go over here. The girls can come over here.